And tomorrow's Saturday. What are you going to do tomorrow, huh? Hey, good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow is Global Occupation Day. Participate if you can, okay? This hour is sponsored by Joseph Harris. Joe's message, I urge everyone to use cash for purchases. Screw the banks out of ATM fees. Cash transactions are not traceable. So when you are buying that machete at the hardware store, use cash. Joe in Temecula. Thanks, Joe. First hour of sponsorship tonight. We appreciate it very much. Gee, where to begin? We are going to give away a podcast subscription tonight. A little bit later in the program. All I have to do is answer the trivia question correctly, and it's yours. Tomorrow is Global Occupation Day. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. A couple other things I want to get to first. By the way, if you go to, we'll have it posted on our website tonight. There is a video of the protest in New York. I think it's from today, a parade, a march. And about a minute 40 into this 3-minute video, 2.5-minute video, another one of these gangrenous, bloated, lard-ass, white-shirted cops hauls off and smashes a woman in the face. Just one of those big right-hand roundhouse punches. And it's really pretty disgusting to see. Big old white cop smashing a very small white woman in the face with a fist. Boom. And down she went. You got to see it. We'll put it up a little bit later if you haven't seen it already. Disgusting sons of bitches. Man. You know, I was saying last night, nonviolent. The only violence so far has been from the police. Anywhere that these protests have occurred, the only violence is coming from the authorities and the police being the instrument of the fist that, in the case of the woman in New York, literally, but figuratively speaking, the fist for this type of thing. Now, again, let me distinguish if I have to. I don't think I have to, but I will anyway for the brain-dead right-wingers who love to cluster around this program at night without telling anybody. You know, the cop thing about to protect and defend, that's a good thing. I have police officers, or had, they're dead now, in my family. I understand law enforcement. I understand that not all cops will walk up to, in the middle of a demonstration, an unarmed woman who's doing nothing but protesting and smash her in the face. I understand that. I understand that not all cops would unleash ravenous police dogs onto civil rights demonstrators back in the 60s, too. We all know that there are good cops and bad cops. There are good lawyers and bad lawyers, good doctors and bad doctors, good radio talk show hosts, and ones that pretend to be liberals. We all know that this sort of thing exists. So it's not a blanket indictment of cops. But when you see people who are peacefully demonstrating, okay, so the site that they have claimed to occupy, you know, it's not Iraq. It's not Afghanistan. It's a park someplace. Downtown Atlanta, lower Manhattan, outside City Hall in L.A., wherever it is. It's a park, ostensibly public property. Oh, I know. Zuccotti Park in New York is not public property. It's private. But the people who put themselves in these little green spaces, or in the case of D.C. at Freedom Plaza, where there's a little patch of grass about the size of your living room, and the rest of it is concrete, And they put themselves there. The protesters put themselves there, and they raise their banners, and they sing songs and dance and beat the drum and let the world know we're here. We're here. And we're going to do this to call attention to this horrific inequity that is going to stop. And it is. And it finally gets to the point where, okay, you kids have had your fun now. Time to go. Go on. Get out. Get out. No, that's not the case. A, these are not kids. These are young Americans. And B, it's not really fun to spend 5 weeks in a tent in the middle of a city breathing in exhaust fumes and being harassed by police and laughed at by the media at the beginning. But not laughing anymore, are they? Huh? This is Aaron Burnett, who moved from NBC over to CNN. What is with this woman? And not just her. What is her, what's the woman that took over for Rick Sanchez when Sanchez got fired? Oh God, what is her name? I've got it someplace. It's one of those names like, somebody email me what the girl's name is. She has no business being doing network news. Just no business. I mean, she really doesn't. It's like the producers keep her deliberately stupid so that she... I doubt if she... it's not Brittany. What the hell is her name? Help? Somebody? And nobody going to send me the name? It's not Brittany. What's the name? She took Rick Sanchez's place. Anyway, she gets out there today with her 3 o'clock program or 2 o'clock program. I think she has a 2-hour program, which is astonishing to me. I mean, I can't, I just can't. Brooke, that's her first name, Brooke. So she starts her program today. Is it 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever it was? And I had CNN on. I do not watch CNN that much anymore. I have to say I've become a Brooke Baldwin. Is that it? Is that it, Reg? Brooke? Reg writes Brick. No, it's Brooke. Well, it probably is Brick. Thick as a brick. Anyway, Brooke. She stands up for the opening of her program and she says, okay, this hour, we're going to find out who's paying for these demonstrations. Oh, honey, please. And then she says, how are they raising money if they're against big banks? Those are direct quotes. How are they, the Occupy demonstrators, raising money if they're against big banks? Jesus H. Christ. I mean, okay, a lot of these anchor people are dumber than dog poop, but good God! That takes the cake. Who's paying for these demonstrations? How are they raising money if they're against big banks? And at that point, I just kind of screamed into my arm and walked out to go to the farmer's market. I mean, it just, oh my God. Who's paying for this if they're against the big banks? Ah. Anyway, well, is it time for a break already? My God, I just started. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Doing talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. I think it's clear now. I've been asking the question. I think I've asked it a couple of times over the past 2 weeks. This is either the beginning of the resistance to this predatory capitalist nonsense has got to stop, or it's the end of any resistance. So I got my answer now. This is the beginning. And I'm sure some of you already had that answer, but this is, to me, it's sort of like these young Americans, and I'm only referring to this company because it is a global movement, this country. It is a global movement. But the young and not so young, I don't mean to say it's all young people, because it isn't. But the vast source of energy that developed this is coming from young people. We know that. Any movement that seriously seeks social change begins with young people. You know, for the Christians, I know you don't want to hear this, but Jesus only spent 1 year. He's 33. That's young. You know, wandering around the Middle East trying to set you dumbasses straight. But anyway, to see the young people who are once again in the vanguard of resistance, only this time it's not a limited, and this is what's frustrated media so badly. This is not a limited movement like the anti-war movement was. End the war in Vietnam. That was a stated goal. The free speech movement was, you know, no restrictions on what is said on a university campus or any place else, because the Constitution guarantees it. The civil rights movement. We want equal rights under the law, equal protection under the law, and so on and so forth. But this movement, and again, this is what's driven major media and the pundits and the critics and even a lot of people on the left absolutely insane, because there is no specific one or two things. There are about 20 things that this movement is demanding and will not settle for less than. And that's the part of it that is, to me, separates this from all other movements in this country that I'm aware of, and not just in my lifetime, but historically. Seriously, think about it. You know, I'm not, again, I make no claim to always getting it right by any means, but as far as I know, you know, what this movement is saying is tax the rich, tax the corporations, end the wars, bring the troops home, cut military spending, protect the social safety net, strengthen Social Security, improve Medicare for all, end corporate welfare, especially for oil companies and other big business interests, switch us to a clean energy economy, reverse environmental degradation, you see what I mean? Protect worker rights, including collective bargaining, create jobs, raise wages, get money out of politics. In other words, stop the machine, create a new world. Now, that list is from the October2011.org website. And I believe that Kevin Zeese and a few other people wrote that together. But there are the demands. About 15 or 20 of them. Of course, they all tie together. They all have to do with ending the domination of the 1% in this country, whether that 1% is an individual, a family, or a corporation. And by God, it's going to end. This, the typically disgusting and vile pig man, Rush Limbaugh, has been telling his brain-dead audience that the funding for this is coming from George Soros. Well, of course. Of course the pig man would say that. And of course, his listeners would say, I knew it! I knew it! They no more know who George Soros is than they know who Juan Miró is. They have no idea. So, to answer my own question about whether or not this is the beginning, or the end of a movement. It's very clear this is the beginning. And what we're witnessing right now is that collective gathering of energy, and by God, is it happening. And at this point, the movement keeps telling the authorities, look, demonstrating, not telling them, but demonstrating to the authorities, look, we are nonviolent. We're here. We're not going away. We've got a list of all kinds of demands. Whether your corporate media will explain it to you or not, that's not our job. Our job is to just, go to any one of these sites and talk to the young people or the middle-aged people or the older people who are participating. They'll tell you this stuff. But this is the pause. Now, the power can respond the way it always does, by either ignoring this movement, which they do so at their peril this time, or trying to beat it into the ground, which they also do at their peril this time, or this will shift into political power. And the end of this corporate nonsense, this capitalist destruction of the entire earth, will begin to happen. We'll be right back.
Just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, hello, 25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Joe in Temecula, California. Joe writes, I urge everyone to use cash for purchases. Screw the banks out of their ATM fees. Cash transactions are not traceable, so when you are buying that machete at the hardware store, use cash. You know, to go out and cut your weeds. Yeah, thanks, Joe. Kevin in Colorado Springs just points out, the reason Brooke Baldwin or anybody starts talking about, oh, where's the money coming from? You know, that's a right-wing question always. And as Kevin points out, with the Tea Party and their cutesy little buses, the Koch brothers paid for that supposed movement. So in the minds of these corporate media thugs, someone has to be financing the Occupy movement. Because surely we, the 99 percenters, couldn't possibly be self-financing this movement, right? Yeah, that's, but when I heard that today from, CNN has just gone into the crapper. You know what I'm saying? It really has. It's awful. Now they've hired this red state freak, Eric Erickson, whose parents, typical Southern parents, they couldn't come up with two names. No offense. I mean, Kathy and I are Southern parents, but they couldn't come up with two names for their kid. I know it's named Mark Erickson. All right. Jesus God. Redstate.com. Well, he is right. The only thing that Eric Erickson's right about is that Georgia damn sure is a red state. Boy, you got that right. I know a lot of people just get highly pissed off when I fall into that stupid Southern accent. A couple things before we move to the more central issues. Last month, a Time Warner cable customer service rep died at her desk. You know, if you have Time Warner cable and you call in for service, a woman died at her desk. After any unexpected death like that, you know, people are going to look for answers or an explanation or someone to blame. But in this case, there may have actually been something foul afoot. A local news station reports that after a coworker began giving CPR to the woman who died, 67-year-old Julia Nelson, a supervisor allegedly told the woman giving CPR to stop and, quote, get back on the phones and take care of customers, end quote. Miss Nelson, Julia Nelson, slumped at her desk at the Time Warner call center in Garfield Heights, Ohio, and wasn't breathing by the time paramedics arrived. But before that happened, a coworker rushed over and began administering CPR. The woman told WOIO radio station, only to be told to stop. Employees at the scene confirmed the report. The woman was also told later by another supervisor that she could have been, you can be held liable if something goes wrong. Not true, of course. Ohio has the so-called Good Samaritan Law on the books, which protects bystanders who provide emergency aid from being sued for unintentional injury or wrongful death. And added to the story is the fact that a little coda here. Thanks to this legal immunity, many employees have used CPR to save coworkers' lives without any risk to themselves. And they give a couple of examples here. Unfortunately, 67-year-old Julia Nelson didn't receive this care because a supervisor told the woman offering the care, this is predatory capitalism down on the micro level. It destroys countries on the macro level, but down on the micro level, it kills individuals indirectly. Did Time Warner kill the woman? No, of course not. Did the supervisor kill the woman? No, of course not. What the supervisor did was behave like a typical capitalist corporatist pig. Back on your phone! But I'm saving this woman's life. Back on your phone! Okay. Time Warner released a statement denying any wrongdoing. Well, of course. Here's the statement, quote, Time Warner responded appropriately to a medical emergency. Of course you did. Our company has procedures in place to respond to emergencies. Of course you do. We are saddened by the loss of one of our employees, you lying bastard. Our thoughts are with the family during this difficult time. Oh, and a pig's ass. Your thoughts are with the family. Give it a rest, Time Warner. Police are reviewing the incident, according to radio station WOIO. Never stops. One of the heiresses to the Walmart billions, Alice Walton, she spent the last hour of her 62nd birthday party last Friday night in the Parker County Jail after being arrested by a Texas Highway Patrol trooper of DUI or DWI, depending how it's listed in your state. Driving while drunk is what it means. She was listed in a recent Forbes listing as the 10th richest person in America, worth nearly $21 billion. She was stopped because she was speeding, and then they determined she was drunk. She was released on a $1,000 bond. A spokesman for the family. See, rich people can hire a spokesman. And spokeswomen. This says spokesman, so I guess it was a man. Spokesman for the family said, quote, she was returning home from a birthday dinner with friends at a Fort Worth restaurant. She accepts full responsibility for this unfortunate incident and deeply regrets it. It's not an unfortunate incident. An unfortunate incident is when you're at somebody's house, and you're drinking a glass of red wine, you spill it all over their white carpet. That's an unfortunate incident. This is a criminal act. I am death. I am death on people who drink and drive. I'm like Kali, the Hindu goddess. I will bite their heads off. So it was not an unfortunate incident. It was a criminal act. Speaking of drunk driving, I love this story, and I shouldn't because it involves another drunk driving case, but the Republican from Tennessee, he's a Tennessee lawmaker. He's a representative in the Tennessee House of Representatives. He's the one who sponsored a law allowing handguns in bars. He has stepped down as chairman of a state firearms task force after being charged of driving under the influence with a loaded gun in his car. This was in Nashville. Representative Curry Todd. That's another thing about Southern white people. So often they have backward names. Curry Todd.
Yup.
A Republican from West Tennessee was stopped by police on Tuesday when he was spotted traveling 20 miles over the speed limit, weaving in and out of traffic. He slurred his words, was unsteady on his feet, and failed a field sobriety test administered after he was stopped near the Vanderbilt University campus. He refused to take a breath test. Curry Todd, who, by the way, is a retired Memphis police officer, also had a loaded .38 caliber handgun in a holster, according to the cops, quote, stuffed in between the driver's seat and the center console. Now, that guns and bars laws passed a year ago allows guns to be carried into bars and restaurants that serve alcohol, but stipulates that it is illegal to drink while carrying them. So Curry Todd has been charged with possession of a handgun while under the influence and with drunken driving and taken to jail before being released on $3,000 bail on Wednesday. His arrest came the same day his wife divorced him in Shelby County. Don't you just love these goddamn Republicans? Don't you just, huh? I mean, here you go, right? Why you take your gun in a bar? What have you done with your life, pig? Well, I got a law in Tennessee. You can take your gun into a bar. Yeah? Why did your wife divorce you?
Well, she claimed I was beating on her. She's a liar. Says in the Bible, you gotta, you know.
A Nashville attorney who formed a coalition to fight that law called the arrest, quote, poetic justice, end quote. The attorney, Adam Dredd, you gotta love that name, said in an interview with News Channel 5 in Nashville, quote, he spent all his time arguing that as a permit holder that we don't violate the law, we're responsible, and of course we would never drink when we had our guns, and then he's arrested for the very thing that he was out there clamoring about. It's a little bit of poetic justice, if you will, end quote. Woo-hoo. Gotta love the family values crowd, don't you? I'll bet he probably, as soon as he got home, called up his minister and asked him if he'd pray with him. Temecula, California, sponsored this hour. Thanks, Joe. His message, I urge everyone to use cash for purchases. Screw the banks out of ATM fees. Cash transactions are not traceable. So when you buy that machete at the hardware store, use cash. Thanks, Joe. All right. I don't know if you're aware of it, but we now have combat troops in a couple more countries. I'm not sure how I feel about this one. Obama said today that he has dispatched 100 U.S. combat troops to Central Africa to support a years-long fight against a guerrilla group accused of horrific atrocities. Obama said they were sent to advise, not engage in combat, please, unless forced to defend themselves. Of course, they're combat troops, but beside the point. the first of the troops arrived in Uganda on Wednesday. Others will be sent to South Sudan, the Central African Republic, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. This is being called a highly unusual intervention for the United States because in the past we have been reluctant to commit forces to help African nations put down insurgencies. Now, excuse me, this the people they're going after are the people that U.S. troops are supposed to assist in ridding these countries of is called the Army of the Lord, I think. Is that it? Army of the Lord? Oh, no, it's the Lord's Resistance Army. Army of the Lord is something here. Lord's Resistance Army. And this this group would represent pure evil. I don't believe in evil. I believe in horrific acts of violence and criminal behavior and people who are insane who commit things, but I think it's more insanity or greed than it is evil. I'm sorry, I know a lot of people disagree with that, but if evil exists, these people, this Lord's Resistance Army, would define evil. Rape, murder, they're the ones that conscript children into their battle groups, their terror cells, teach them how to use Kalashnikovs or AK-47s. I'm talking about, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds. And a lot of these kids are then used as sex toys by the leaders. Richard Downey, excuse me, an Africa expert at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, said this case is somewhat exceptional. There are few more clear-cut cases of evil in the world today than the Lord's Resistance Army. And, end quote, Downey cautioned that this operation shouldn't be viewed as short-term. Now, under the War Powers Act, which a lot of people feel is an unconstitutional abridgment of the authority of Congress, but under that act, Obama can do this. He can send troops anywhere on Earth. And he has 48 hours, then, to notify Congress that he's done so. Which, apparently, the 48 hours, he just made it today. Troops were deployed on Wednesday, today being Friday. And then Congress has 30 days to decide whether or not to go along with a president's decision, or to order that the troops be brought home and the operation canceled. Now, I realize that the War Powers Act is a little bit more complicated than that, but essentially I think that's what it is. I have mixed feelings about this one. I really do. I know about the Lord's Resistance Army, even though I call them something else, but I know that these folks are not throwing off oppressive regimes. I mean, they may live in countries where there are oppressive regimes. I'm not sure about the political structure in each of these countries. But I do know that their history is one of just almost unspeakable violence and atrocities. So whether or not U.S. troops should be sent. I think what this is about is Clinton's failure to respond to the massacre in Rwanda back in the 90s. It left an awful lot of people in this country. How many was it? The Tutsis that were butchered, a couple of 100,000 people were just butchered. So I don't know. But just so you know that we now have combat troops, although the official line is they are being sent there to advise, not to engage in combat. And the of course the codicil is added, unless forced to defend themselves. Well, when you send combat troops into a country and you're not asked, well, maybe they were asked. Who knows? We'll have to wait for the next WikiLeaks document dump to find out if Uganda asked for these troops or South Sudan did. South Sudan's a brand new country, isn't it? And the Central African Republic and the Democratic Republic of Congo, they may have requested this. I don't know. Maybe we should have foreign troops sent here to clean this nation of the anti-gay and racially motivated violent groups in this country. I don't know. I don't know anything anymore. George W. Bush has a welcome waiting for him if he goes to... where's he going to? Surrey, but where's Surrey? Now, hold on a minute. God damn it. Vancouver. We'll be back. Stay with us. Well, not Vancouver. I mean British Columbia, you know.
Hey guys, look.
It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. And this hour is sponsored once again by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. The message that accompanies the sponsorship is written by Blue Lady. And... the message is, the Malloy chat room is grateful for a show that reflects our feelings and opens the door to the important stories of the day. Thanks for making the Mike Malloy Show what it is, a voice of truth to power. Thanks, Malloy chat room and Skype chat room. Thank you very much. That's very kind. Thank you, Blue Lady. What is that, Kathy? About 15, 18 sponsorships out of that nest of reprobates? I ought to send him some cookies. Huh? George W. Bush is going to be greeted by a kind of Occupy Wall Street-inspired bunch of protesters when he comes to Vancouver, or to Surrey, next week. A Twitter account called Occupy Surrey has sprung up and is encouraging people to attend a demonstration against the war criminal. About a week ago, Occupy Surrey tweeted, quote, when war criminal Bush comes to Surrey October 20th, we will meet him with a flash occupation. Expect us. All right. The protests, and I hope you Vancouverians, that's where Bob Alexander is, right? Maybe he'll show up there, right? I hope you Vancouverites, Bob Alexander's probably going, no! I moved here to get away from this, you know, Bush. If there's a demonstration, I'm sure Bob will be in the thick of it. But the protest is set to take place next Thursday, beginning at 10 a.m. outside the bay at the Guilford Town Center Shopping Mall. Is it Guilford? The mayor of Surrey hasn't responded publicly on Twitter to Occupy Surrey's tweets demanding that she cancel Bush's appearance at the Surrey Regional Economic Summit. I doubt if she can. But anyway, Occupy Surrey tweeted at the mayor on October 13th. This is not Friday the 13th, is it? Huh? That was yesterday. It was Friday the 13th. This is Friday the 14th. Anyway, yesterday, the mayor was tweeted, quote, "We are the generation we have been waiting for, and we will not stand for war criminals in Surrey," end quote. Organized by the city of Surrey, well, maybe she does have some authority here, and the Business Council of British Columbia, the summit is being held at the Sheraton Vancouver Guildford Hotel next Thursday from 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Amnesty International, the Canadian Center for International Justice, the Center for Constitutional Rights, and Lawyers Against the War have all called on Canadian authorities to arrest and prosecute George W. Bush for the use of torture by U.S. forces. And another Occupy Wall Street-inspired protest, Occupy Vancouver, is planned for tomorrow, starting at the Vancouver Art Gallery at 10 a.m. There will be demonstrations around the planet, coordinated. Now, the last time this happened was right, if my memory still serves me to any dependable degree, was just prior, matter of fact, it was in December of 2002 when a lot of people traipsed to Washington, D.C. for a massive march, 400,000 people, in protest of the planned invasion of Iraq by the war criminal George Bush and his war criminal puppet master, Dick Cheney. In conjunction with that, it's my understanding that upwards of 10 million people around the planet also demonstrated against a U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq, all of which had no effect whatsoever on the capitalist, corporatist killers who run the United States and were running it back in 2000. Well, they've run it for a long time, but the attitude was, we don't give a goddamn if 50 million or 100 million or a billion of you protest around the globe. We are going to invade Iraq and kill hundreds of thousands of people. We are going to torture. We are going to continue the plan to utterly and absolutely destroy the United States of America as it was originally conceived and turned it into a fascist state. We are going to do this, and the rest of the world can kiss America's ass. Well, maybe not this time. Maybe not this time. I hope that the authorities in Vancouver will arrest this war criminal. I find it hard to believe that the conservative government of Harper's conservative government in Canada will do such a thing, but provincial governments. Somebody in Canada will correct me if this is not true, but I believe provincial governments have considerable authority and power within their own rights. It's not like state governments in the United States, which in the big picture are effectively powerless. But I don't know. Maybe somebody in Canada will let me know if Vancouver has the legal power to do this, to arrest him and hold him. I hope they do. From the Reuters news agency in London, protests tomorrow around the globe from New Zealand to Alaska, London, Frankfurt, Washington, New York. How many will show up, let alone stay to camp out to disrupt city centers for days or months, is anyone's guess. According to Reuters, the hundreds of Manhattan Zuccotti Park Protesters were calling for backup on Friday, fearing imminent action, eviction, I should say, and of course, that was called off. Rome expects tens of thousands at a national protest. I will guarantee you Spain, Greece, Germany, Ireland, Germany not so much, but the countries, the so-called pigs, Portugal, Italy, or Ireland, Germany, Spain, that have been devastated by the capitalist monsters who are systematically destroying every single form of representative government on earth because it does not serve their interests. As far as the Southern Hemisphere, I understand New Zealand, Australia, Chile, Argentina, Brazil. I don't know about Central America. Canada, of course, now has made it clear. The Occupy Vancouver movement. At least 21 people were arrested today, and tents were removed from an Occupy Denver protest after about 100 people defied orders to vacate a park by the state capitol. The Colorado State Patrol arrested 19 people, Denver police at least two, on charges ranging from unlawful conduct on public land. Yeah, you're not allowed to assert your First Amendment rights on public land. What the hell's wrong with you? About 150 state troopers and Denver police were at the scene of the protest. 150 cops for 100 protesters. Yeah, that's about right.
They sentenced me to 20 years of boredom for trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them.
And watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. The arrests in Denver came after the Colorado State Patrol posted a notice yesterday declaring occupation of the park where the protesters had set up camp to be illegal between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. The arrest came early today. One protester, a pre-med student who gave her name only as Emmy, said, quote, "We're not going anywhere. We're planning to rebuild. We're planning on staying right here," end quote. She added, quote, "We're going to be here until things actually start to change within the government. Things like making corporations pay taxes again." Or no, things like making corporations again. She was referring to the Citizens United ruling in the Supreme Court. They were taken to the Denver County Jail. Denver protesters plan on taking part tomorrow, this International Day of Action. So, tomorrow is the day when people around the world will be acting together to let the capitalists know that their day is just about over. Their destruction of everything on the planet, from the people to the environment to economic systems to political systems, everything they have ever put their goddamn hands on has been either corrupted, rendered poisonous, or destroyed, and that it's going to come to an end. And it will. It will. And again, the hope is for nonviolent change. Historically, such a thing is almost unheard of, nonviolent political change. Nobody has ever directly confronted in this manner the corporate power that now owns pretty much outright the United States. So we'll see what happens. And I think no matter who it is here, the immediate concern falls on the shoulders of city officials around, again, I'm referring mostly to the United States, city officials around this country who are having to deal with these occupations and how to respond to them. State officials are also being included, as well as county, but eventually the federal government, and more specifically the Obama administration, is going to have to make some decisions. And again, there are several courses of action. Excuse me. The authorities can ignore what's going on at their peril. And as they ignore it, if they do ignore with the thought that this thing will just kind of wither and die, that's a big mistake. This is not the kind of movement that will wither and die. It is not. This country, not to mention the other countries who are going to participate in this, this country is in awful shape on just about by any measurement you want to take. The increase in poverty, generally speaking, the increase in unemployment, the increase in child poverty, the decline in health in this country, the declining life expectancy in the United States, the declining birth, what's the word I'm looking for, Kathy? Survival, what is that? Right out of the, you know, children, babies, whatever the term is. We are plunging. Infant mortality is what I'm trying to think of. Jesus. The number of people in the middle class, the number of people in the suburbs who now find themselves. I was reading something, a very good, a lengthy article on Huffington Post. I think it was Huffington Post today, or yesterday, about the, it was the longest article I've ever read on HuffPo. And it was cited four or five different individuals who were deeply ensconced in the middle class up until the past couple of years. And now find themselves, like so many of us find ourselves, in situation that we don't know what's going to happen next. Some of these families don't know how they're going to survive. These are people, families that were making upwards of $100,000 a year, you know, with both parents working, but, you know, with decent paying jobs that are now gone, just completely gone. And to read about this is a unique form of tragedy. I say unique because in this country, to be unemployed, to not have the kind of lifestyle that one has worked for, you know, people who played by the rules. This is the thing that makes me want to throttle one of these right wingers until their eyes bulge out of their head. You know, we are people who played by the rules. We did what we were told. We didn't go out and rob banks. We worked hard. We tried to get our kids into colleges. We tried to save money. And these predatory sons of bitches put us all in the trick bag, every single one of us. So there is no need for any middle-class American or working-class American to take any responsibility for this at all.
monkeys on the air, flying monkeys everywhere. I do not like them on my station. I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy. That's the way you do it.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. And along with their sponsorship comes this message written by Blue Lady. The message is, the Malloy chat room is grateful for a show that reflects our feelings and opens the door to the important stories of the day. Thanks for making the Malloy show what it is, a voice of truth to power. Kind words, Blue Lady, and thank you to the Malloy and Skype chat rooms for yet another sponsorship from that group of folks. You ought to join them. Go to Ustream, and you can get on that way, I guess. Thanks, guys and girls. Dorothy writes, it appears that 9 major Canadian cities will be holding an Occupy Day tomorrow. She found information on a link from the front page of the Canadian version of Huffington Post. The cities are Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, Ottawa, Halifax, Victoria, British Columbia, Edmonton, Calgary, and St. John's, Newfoundland. Well, there you go. And from the Occupy Dallas, Texas, the General Assembly of Occupy Dallas held a vote concerning an offer from the city to relocate their tents and shelters to the City Hall Park, which will serve as a base for continued protest during the day at Pioneer Plaza. The vote was passed 47-21, and the relocation of tents and shelters will begin Sunday afternoon. Today marks the start of Occupy Dallas's second week, and protesters are awaiting the march plan for 1 p.m. tomorrow, which has been coordinated with other movements across this country. The march will begin at Pioneer Park, and protesters will then head to the Goldman Sachs building for more information on this. Go to OccupyDallas.org. OccupyDallas.org. This movement began Thursday, October 6th, with a march from Pike Park to the Federal Reserve Building. Over 1,000 people were involved in that one. No, corporate America has got to be, or should be, or eventually will be forced to take notice of what's going on, and there will have to be a response. Again, this movement is not going to go away. And one of the reasons is that the predations of capitalist America, corporate America, have become so blatant, so complete, that it's almost to the point that there is a huge segment of the population in this country, I'm talking in the millions, who truly have nothing to lose by protesting. And eventually, those numbers are going to be in the streets. I promise you. We've been talking on this program, and I know other people have been talking about this, of course. I'm no leader of this kind of thought whatsoever, but we've been talking about this for a couple of years. What will it take to get people off their asses and into the streets? Well, the younger people in this country, with a lot of support from older folks, middle-aged people, older people, but the young people who have to lead this. It is their future. It's not my future. It is the young people in this country who have so much at stake here. They have to be the leadership. And it finally happened. And I again, like I said last hour, I think anyone who believes that this movement is going to wither and die is a fool, an absolute fool. It is not going to wither and die at all. It's going to continue. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It is going to devour little pissants like Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and spit them out. It's also going to devour corporate America. It's going to fundamentally and forever change how this country's economic system is set up and how we govern ourselves. It's going to take time. I'm not talking about next month or 6 months from now, but this is going to happen. There is no doubt in my mind whatsoever that this is going to happen. So, to the media whores and punks and bastards who continue to act as though this is a flash in the pan movement, or ask these dumbass questions like Brooke on CNN did today. We're going to find out who's financing this. Or like the disgusting bloated pig man mentioned the other day.
Well, it's George Soros's money.
And of course, a representative for George Soros today kind of laughed at it. We are going to do podcast trivia after this next break coming up in about 5 minutes. So Kathy's going to open the lines now. If you want to take a shot at winning a one-year subscription to Molly Podcast Downloads, commercial-free, just get online and we'll get to you. The Obama administration announced yesterday that BP will be allowed to bid on new oil leases in the Gulf of Mexico. Oh my God. The day before, on Wednesday, the Interior Department cited BP and its two principal contractors for numerous safety and environmental violations relating to that explosion that cost the lives of how many people? 13 people. 11 people, and sank the Deepwater Horizon rig in April 2010. So the Obama administration said, well, yeah, we, you know. Michael Bromwich, the head of the new Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement, Jesus Christ, you know, more Orwellian newspeak, right? The head of the new Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement disclosed this decision at a House committee hearing. Mr. Bromwich told reporters after the hearing, referring to BP, he said, the question is, do you administer the administrative death penalty based on one incident? And we've concluded that's not appropriate. The death penalty and these capitalist corporatist thugs mind, the death penalty would be to say to BP, you have caused so much death and destruction all over the planet. And after what you did April 2010 in the Gulf of Mexico, sorry, British Petroleum, no more oil leases. I mean, doesn't that make even the least bit of sense? This is the Obama administration who says to BP, okay, you can bid on these leases. It's the Obama administration who is saying, okay, to Shell, we're going to go ahead and give you permission to start punching holes in the bottom of the Arctic Ocean. This is the Obama administration who's going to say to the Keystone XL pipeline company, TransCanada, whatever it's called, okay, go ahead and add to this horrific global pollution by just extracting these tar sands oil out of the ground and ship it across one of the Canadian provinces all the way across the United States. This is the Obama administration, and there's still people in all sorts of media, print, television, who are defending Barack Obama, defending his policies, and trying to tell you. Of course, the teabaggers forget what these bagger bastards are saying of the Republic. Oh, he's a socialist, you dumbasses. But there's still people on the liberal side or the left-wing side, such as it is, who want you to believe that Barack Obama is, first of all, truthful, which obviously he's not. And for those of you who want to make the case that he's being forced to do this, okay, maybe so. Then why doesn't he resign? If he's a man of honor, why doesn't he resign? Let Biden take over, huh? But there are still people insisting that Barack Obama is a progressive, is a liberal. I read something in The Nation today, one of the columnists who listed all the accomplishments that Barack Obama compared it to Bill Clinton's accomplishments. And the funny part was that both Clinton and Obama are center-right Democrats, which means they're wholly owned subsidiaries of corporate America, like every other single politician on a national level. Well, not every single. There's still a handful of them who are not owned outright by capitalism. But Barack Obama is not one of them. I'm sorry, he might be a nice man, but he is what he is. We'll be right back. For podcast trivia brought to you by the folks in the Molloy and Skype chat rooms who are sponsoring this hour. Also have this message written by Blue Lady. The Molloy chat room is grateful for a show that reflects our feelings and opens the door to the important stories of the day. Thanks for making the Molloy show what it is, a voice of truth to power. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. All right, podcast trivia. You get the right answer, you get a one-year subscription to Molloy Show podcast downloads, commercial-free, yada, yada, yada. Diana is in Vancouver, Washington, listening online. Hi, Diana.
Hi.
All right, you ready to give this a shot?
I am.
Okay, here we go. This week saw the Occupy movement gathering power as well as support. According to reports published by an increasingly nervous corporate media, the Occupy USA actions are now occurring in which of the following? A, 10 cities. B, 50 cities. C, 100 cities. Or D, more than 200 cities.
According to who?
An increasingly nervous corporate media. According to published reports, according to whatever you read or listen to.
Oh, gosh, you know anything I listen to.
All right, would it be 10 cities, 50 cities, 100 cities, or more than 200 cities where the Occupy movement has taken hold?
I believe they're going to say 10 cities.
10 cities? No, that's not correct, Diana. I'm sorry, but if you want to hold on, do you want to? All right, let me try somebody else. But that's all right. Thanks for trying, Diana. John is driving in Tennessee. All right, John, you want to hear the question again?
Yeah, I already heard it.
Okay, what's the answer? 10 cities, 50 cities, 100 cities, or more than 200 cities?
More than 200.
That's it. That's it. You got it, John. Yeah, the list, I think these occupation movements now are in about 25 or 30 states, so it is really spreading. All right, John, hold on a second, and Kathy will get the pertinent information, and congratulations. Diana, don't worry about it. Was it Diana? Yeah, in Vancouver. It's just all over the place, okay? And that's where it should be. From E.B. in Hollywood, Florida, E.B. writes, Mike, I may be 87, but I know this. According to the Miller Doctrine, that is Miller versus U.S. court case, I guess Supreme Court, quote, the claim and exercise of a constitutional right cannot be converted into a crime, end quote. EB is writing this to explain why they can't arrest demonstrators. EB goes on, to arrest demonstrators exercising their First Amendment rights or any constitutional right is, in all likelihood, punishable under Title 18 or Title 42, U.S. Code, carrying a penalty of $10,000 and up to 10 years in jail. This is the leverage the demonstrators have against the police and the courts. EB in Hollywood, Florida. Well, that's interesting to know. I just wonder why. Well, I know what the answer is, EB, before I even ask the question. These folks are never charged with a crime involving their constitutional rights, although to any rational observer, that's exactly what's going on. The crime they're usually charged with is trespass or failure to obey a police officer or failure to obey a lawful order. It's an interesting point, though, EB, and I would just hope that as this develops and as the authorities continue to make the stupid mistake of arresting people, that that will be one of the defenses offered. This Supreme Court decision that the exercise of a constitutional right cannot be converted into a crime. Thanks, EB. I appreciate that. I bet you EB is a former judge. What do you want to bet? All right, what else? What else we got here? I got time for this? I don't think so. We'll do this email from Kawai John. Oh, back to this this BP thing. The Obama administration has decided to allow BP to bid on leases in the Gulf. Bromwich, Michael Bromwich, the head of this new Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement, you know, the Ministry of Truth, said he told the House committee that his agency, his new agency, had, quote, thought about this issue quite a lot, end quote, before deciding to let BP participate in the first scheduled auction of offshore leases since the accident, you know, the one caused by BP. 2 million deepwater acres will be opened for exploration and drilling in the Western Gulf. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, now isn't the one of the marks of crazy behavior is to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? This is madness. It really is. But once again, this is the liberal or progressive Barack Obama administration. In the meantime, the question is still hanging out there whether the Obama Justice Department will file any criminal charges against any of the companies involved in this. There's been talk that the well, they've been cited, citations issued Wednesday against BP, Transocean, which was the rig operator, and Halliburton, Dick Cheney's company, the cement contractor for the well. The Interior Department, who issued the citation, said that the three companies failed to protect safety and the environment. 15 separate violations were issued Wednesday night against these three companies. Halliburton will just, give the middle finger to the Interior Department. And it doesn't, the Interior Department, I don't know, do they have enforcement power? I guess they can issue citations, which is the same, I guess, as arrest power. But I think it's up to the Justice Department. And I think the Eric Holder Justice Department has made it very clear they're not going to prosecute corporate criminals. That's not why they are in business, the Justice Department. We'll be right back. back, 7 past the hour, hour 3 of the Malloy program. The number here if you want to get online is 877-996-2556. This hour is sponsored by Janie Aguilar. Janie's message. This is for my paternal grandfather, who was conscripted into the Mexican army at the age of 16 and became a staunch believer that no one should become military fodder. Thank you, Janie. Janie Aguilar is our third hour sponsor tonight. I want to share with you something. If you're not familiar with the website Nation of Change, nationofchange.org, check it out, nationofchange.org. Two women who put it together, Rebecca Buell and Donna Luca, have put together a website that is, if you are a progressive in spirit, in fact, whatever, this is a website to check out every day, nationofchange.org. They have a letter up today. It says, "Dear readers, last night we published a special call to action urging our readers to occupy Zuccotti Park early this morning to defend the community from what seemed to many to be an effort to evict the protesters and end the occupation. Mayor Bloomberg had announced that the occupiers must leave the park this morning, allegedly so that the city could clean the area. Yesterday, at the Occupy Wall Street General Assembly, it was decided that the occupiers would themselves clean the park. In addition to allocating $3,000 in General Assembly funds to hire professional cleaners. Throughout the day and well into the night, the protesters put this plan into action. We attended another smaller meeting last night, about several blocks away from Zuccotti Park, in which the protesters prepared the strategy for this morning's event. Volunteers were given the opportunity for assignment in various roles, some of which required training. Roles included column, escort, which is linking arm to arm to form a barrier, jail support, media wrangler, and others, and were classified as either arrestable or not, giving volunteers fair warning of the likelihood of arrest. As we joined this morning's meeting at the center of the park, the tension was palpable. Dozens of uniformed and unknown members of undercover NYPD police officers surrounded the square, and nearby vans filled with SWAT officers stood by. We were amazed to watch as an increasingly large crowd continued to file in from all parts of the country and beyond in numbers which appeared to exceed 3,000. As the General Assembly prepared the crowd at large for the upcoming act of civil disobedience, various scenarios and options were offered. We could form a column surrounding the park and forming a first line of defense. We could remain in the center of the park. This is what our team had decided to do. Or we could cross the street and offer moral support to the occupiers. The energy of the crowd was infectious, and each of us found ourselves inspired to defy the authority gathering against our borders. As we prepared ourselves for the oncoming assault, it was difficult not to recall descriptions of siege warfare of the European Middle Ages. In typical melodramatic fashion, it was at this instant when breaking news was echoed across the human microphone system announcing that the park's owners, Brookfield Properties, had decided to, quote, postpone the cleaning of the park, end quote. The crowd broke out into enormous cheers and applause. Many began reciting chants such as "The people united will never be defeated," and others began to sing, dance, and some could be seen shedding tears of joy. A considerable effort by those in power was made to remove the protesters from the occupation, and that effort was defeated. At least for the time being, the people hold Liberty Square and are now celebrating their victory on Broadway and Wall Street. Respectfully, Rebecca Buell and Donna Luca. nationofchange.org. You got to check out this website. It's that kind of response that has certainly made me realize that the talk about when, the answer is now. And I can remember months ago, it seems longer than that, lamenting, you know, sitting in this little studio in the foothills of North Georgia Mountains wondering, you know, where are the young people? Where are the people who must lead this? I cannot tell you how many demonstrations I've been to or rallies I've been to over the years where, and I say this with respect, but it's very frustrating to see the same aging, gray-haired people, myself included, continuing to try to keep the struggle alive as our numbers diminished. You know, when you get beyond a certain age, it's a little bit difficult to spend night after night after night in a sleeping bag in a park. It really is. Well, the answer to the question appeared. You know, when I got the notice from Kevin Zeese and Margaret Flowers, Dr. Margaret Flowers, that a similar action, and of course the action of October 2011.org preceded the Occupy movement by several months, which doesn't mean anything, I'm just saying. But when I got the notice that this movement to take over a park in downtown Washington and hold it no matter what, and then all of a sudden, about 6 weeks later, started hearing about the OWS and other occupiers, it was like, okay. Now, Kevin Zeese is, I guess Kevin is probably in his 40s. So many of the people that are in the Occupy movements around the country are in their 20s. And for the people in their 60s and 70s and 80s, it is so important to contribute whatever energy you can to this. Whether it's a couple of bucks or your physical presence or online support, it matters so much now. And you know, I mean, it's already happening. When you have a movement like this that starts really, really, really on an organic level, with no leadership, no specific demands at the very beginning, just a list of ideas, how are you going to stop that? The quick answer, you can't. You being the power structure. And it's a warning. This is the calm before, if not the storm, the calm before a definite change. And again, it's going to take a period of time to affect the change, but it is coming. It is here. And for all the years that you and I have wondered how much longer can this go on before there is reaction, before there is a determination that we are just simply not going to allow this to continue. How much longer? We now have our answer. It's begun. It has begun. This is the beginning, and it's going to continue, and it's going to grow and grow and grow, and it's going to sweep everything along with it. Eventually, the cops will realize, the power structure will realize, the cops especially should realize that this is their movement. I mean, come on, guys, girls in the blue uniforms. And I'm not talking about the white-shirted, bloated sons of bitches that have no problem pepper-spraying people in the face or punching demonstrators in the face. I mean, those people, you're going to be crushed. Any way you want to interpret that word, that's up to you. I really don't care. But you will be. But to uniformed police officers, to members of police unions, this movement is about you, and it's about the people in the squares, and it's about working men and women. Nobody has any bitch with a person being a police officer. But don't let corporate power continue to turn you into a whore. No offense to sex workers. Don't let corporate power diminish you by telling you to get out there and smash on people who are defending your right as well as their right to address these issues. And the only way corporate America will ever understand, and that's face up direct confrontation that we all hope remains peaceful.
cry no more.
Defining anger management. Back to Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Before I come to your calls here, Kawai John sent this in last hour. Mike, I would like to disagree with your claim that the middle class bears no responsibility for the current economic mess. What I'm about to say does not apply to all, and certainly doesn't apply to you. The they I'm talking about is rather nebulous, and sometimes it includes me. They should have seen it coming. I know I told them over and over again that it was coming. They failed to vote. They were having too much fun using their homes as an ATM. They did not rise up when the SNL crisis happened under Bush 1. In fact, many of them specifically said that they expected the rich to cheat, and they let it go. They failed to look beyond the empty rhetoric offered by Newt Gingrich. They thought they could have lower taxes and better services. When Clinton was impeached, they wandered around in a daze, thinking that Clinton must have been an evil man. And when the blue dress was presented, they knew he was evil, even though he did nothing more than they do every day when he cheated on his wife. When Gore was accused of inventing the Internet, they didn't use their brains to recognize the propaganda for what it was. When the 2000 election was stolen, they got caught up in the hanging Chad controversy, and they abandoned the exit polls. And even now, they still refuse to acknowledge that the electronic voting machines can be hacked. They have been living in a dream world of American exceptionalism because they wanted to believe that they were exceptional. They began to believe that they were worth something because they were willing to compromise their work ethic and allow their bosses to rob the company blind. And now that they've lost their jobs, they think they have been abandoned and the country owes them something. They were stupid, and they are reaping their rewards. I wish I could tell these slackers from the people who have really been working hard and are victims of circumstances, actually victims of those who bought into the right-wing propaganda. We are not blameless. We, and that includes me, let it happen. We could have done more, but we kept thinking it couldn't get this bad. I am glad we have finally awakened, but at the same time ashamed because the reason for our willingness to maybe do something is because we totally abandoned the 20-somethings who have nothing to lose by occupying Wall Street. Kawai John. I have no argument with what John has to say. I've said it myself over the years that, essentially what he said, that people with brains refuse to participate in the nominating system. Consequently, the people who got nominated for public office were, for the most part, jerks. Some of us got to the point where the voting for the lesser of two evils became just that, voting for evil, in a manner of speaking. Instead of hitting the streets in the millions when the Supreme Court ordered the end of the idea of whoever gets the most votes wins an election, instead of taking the streets by the millions, we just sat on our asses and complained about it. So, you know, Kawai John is right. We brought this on ourselves, but that doesn't mean that we can't, and he's not implying this, I'm just saying, it doesn't mean that we can't go ahead. What I said at the rally in Washington when I had my little 10 minutes on stage was that, yeah, the door has been slowly closing, the windows have been coming down, but as Leonard Cohen said, there's a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in, and that's exactly what has happened. Yeah, the doors almost were shut. The windows almost were down. And things were, I can just tell you, if you're a regular listener to this program, I know you sensed it and it probably was starting to turn you off. But this utter negativity that I was feeling, and you know, when you're doing a program like this, when you got to perform essentially 3 hours every night doing improv theater is about what this amounts to. Yeah, your attitude can go straight to hell. I said it. How many times did I say it on this program? I'm just getting so tired of this. I'm so tired of talking about this. Kathy and I seriously considered getting out of this business. I mean, because it just seemed like no matter what, no matter how bad it got, that the people who needed to lead this revolution were just not going to come forward and do it. And it does take leaders. There may not be individual power brokers in the Occupy movement, and that's a good thing. It really is. But whatever the leadership was, whatever the collective consciousness was that told those first 15 or 20 or 30 or 50 people to go down to Lower Manhattan and say, this is it, we're not going to be moved. Whatever it was that told Kevin Zeese and Margaret Flowers and Tarek Koff and the other people who were organizers of the October 2011.org movement that, okay, now's the time to do this, whatever that was. It doesn't matter what it was. It happened. But it's that kind of a spark that I swear I started to believe was just not going to happen. And it has happened. And I am eternally grateful to the people who are providing the energy. I am. You are. We're doing it the way we can do it. Some of us are doing it in a more confrontational basis, and some of us are doing it our own way. We'll be back. And I'm gonna do
Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Janie Aguilar. Thank you, Janie. Her message, this is for my paternal grandfather who was conscripted into the Mexican army at the age of 16. And became a staunch believer that no one should become military fodder. That is fairly easy to agree with, Janie. Thanks for sponsoring the program. Okay, Dave is in Chicago. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I'm so glad and proud of the protesters that they stay there, and there's no need for a confrontation, bringing you know, pressure and friction into a situation that you don't want to. They didn't have to leave the park and have the place cleaned up. I was at Madison, Wisconsin the night they started talking about that. I had left the building for some reason. Mm-hmm. While walking back in, the people that I was with were walking out. I'm like, what's going on? Well, they're telling us they want to clean the place, so we're going to get out. No, man, don't leave. Are you kidding me? You know, I knew it was a trick. And it was a trick. And I've talked to people. I was back a couple times this summer and talked to some more protesters that are, you know, still straggling behind, hanging around there. And, you know, and it said, yeah, that was the night everything changed, and it was never the same. So I'm really glad that the situation was, you know, resolved like it was. It's just sheer luck, you know.
Well, that's good. All right. Dave, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in, okay? Are you going to participate tomorrow in Chicago?
I won't be in Chicago tomorrow, so I can't.
Oh, Dave? Oops. All right, Dave, thanks, man. You were breaking up anyway, but thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Warren is in Revere, Mass. Hello, Warren.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I've got one real quick question. I can tie it up all real neat, you know, and one quick comment if you could indulge me.
Sure.
first of all, nobody, and I listen to all the shows, you know, of the left, so to speak, is handling this movement with anywhere near the intensity that you are. And I wonder how many among the protesters or what kind of feedback you've been getting about how many people...
Oh, not again. Is this starting again tonight, Kathy? All right, to our caller in Revere, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there. I don't know. I can't write this off to... I don't... to faulty phone system. We don't have this problem. Damn it. All right, we'll just keep trying, folks. I mean, I have people here who will hold on for half an hour. And as soon as we get the call going, kaboom. Let's see, Mike in Dallas. Let's try to keep you on the line here for a minute, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Long-time listener, first-time caller. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to change the subject just for
sure,
a quick second.
Sure.
When do you guys think that Jason Ellis is going to take over, you faggot-ass pussies?
When what? When do I think what, Mike? When... I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Mike? Oh, well. Steven is in Burbank. Hey, Steven.
Hi, Mike. we know about the consciousness of the American people and how bumper stickers attract a lot of attention.
Right.
And I see a bumper sticker that says "United We Stand." And so what a good bumper sticker might be is "United We Stand Against Tyranny, Together We Occupy," or some such thing that somebody mm-hmm. could get the people to understand that they are part of the 99%, that mm-hmm. they're going to have to realize where they stand in society as opposed to this tyranny, you know, this overriding tyranny.
Sure.
And so, you know, just to, you know, throw a little idea out there and see what's what. I mean, like what you said before, it relates to it. We're all doing what we can. We do what we can with what we have. And I've been there three times already. I'm going back Saturday and Sunday. I would have been there last Saturday, had to punch the time clock. But I'm more or less loosely affiliated with one of the original 60, quote, organizers, unquote, of Occupy LA. And I have contributed so far. And I'm trying to talk to the people at work to come in and do it. And guess what?
What?
They are more cynical than I used to be.
Well, keep working on them.
I will, Mike. And I'll let you get to even other better callers than even myself.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, bye.
All right, man. Appreciate you checking in. Mike is in Salt Lake City. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. Hey, Mike, I was one of the marchers here in Salt Lake City on October the 6th. And, you know, of course, as you figured, Orrin Hatch had to put his foot in his big mouth and tell us to get an education and get a job. Well, let me tell you, these right-wing critics have no clue of what they're talking about. I marched with people who are unemployed, well-educated, and can't even get a job at McDonald's because every time a job opens up in a low-wage service job, they are 50 people that are just as qualified as you mm-hmm. competing for the same job. So Ann Coulter and the rest of you right-wing nuts that listen to your show, get out and find out what your facts are because you don't know what you're talking about when you call me a communist and lazy.
Right.
I am employed. I'm lucky enough to have health insurance. And the whole reason for me for going out there is to tell Utahs and tell the world, ever since 1981 when Ronald Reagan broke that air traffic controllers, us American workers got screwed by both the Democrats and the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
I.e., I'll give you a good example. Barack Obama is going to sign that free trade agreement
right.
that they pushed through. And then we have that, you know, that I can't say the word on the radio what I think of that Scott Walker guy,
mm-hmm.
busting unions. And when you bust unions and start screwing people with livelihood, then we're going to turn into a third world country. where a realtor, I'm not going to have any money in my pocket to go to a realtor to buy a house, to buy a condo, to buy a plasma. I wish people would get it in their heads. When you screw with people and screw with their livelihood and cut their wages, you know, everyone else gets hurt in the process. Pretty soon Best Buy might be out of business because no one has any money in their pocket to buy a big flat screen TV.
Well, I hear your emotion behind that, Mike, and that's not going to happen. There may be some more traveling down this this road to corporate control of everything, but the turnaround has started, and the right wingers or the people who are seriously thrilled about destroying this country are going to lose, and they're going to lose big time, and. When they do lose, eventually they'll be marginalized and just pushed out of the picture because they are totally irrelevant. Mike, thanks. I appreciate what you had to say. David is in Phoenix. Hey, David.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Warm night. Pretty nice.
Okay.
We have a Occupy here in Phoenix, I believe, tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
I believe. I wanted to find out for sure.
Right.
And I can't find any information on it here at the radio stations or at on television, in the newspaper. Nothing. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if maybe some listeners out there that are from this area would know, maybe could tell you or call and tell you, and I could get the information maybe that way.
I'm sure that there will be something in Phoenix. Now, when I say sure, I'm not 100% sure. No.
Because there's no information that's coming
right
out about. I don't know why.
Do you have... well, this October 15th thing was put together pretty quickly, so if you have an alternative newspaper in it in Phoenix, it may not be included there. But if you do have... Do you have an alternative newspaper in Phoenix?
No, it's own. It's a Republican newspaper.
But I mean,
Arizona
you don't...
Arizona Republic.
Right, but you
and,
don't... Well, wait a minute. You don't have a free weekly paper that is, you know... That,
yeah, we do. It's called the New Times.
Okay, here's what
but
you...
But it only comes out on Wednesday.
Okay,
and there was nothing about that in there.
Okay, David. All right, David. Call them. Get a copy of New Times. Find their phone number. Call them. They will have the information, all right? All right, thanks, David. I appreciate you checking in. David is in Cordova, Alaska. Hi, David.
Hello, Mike.
Hey.
What a sincere pleasure to acquaint with you directly. I'm actually even a friend of Leah Burton's. We grew up in adjoining towns.
Oh.
But I just like to say how much I appreciate what you are saying and how closely it parallels my own thoughts, particularly having the young kids wake up. I was desperately waiting for the same moment and have been encouraging them all along to finally break out. And
hey, David, let me get you to hold a second. I have to do a break here, and we'll come back and pick up the conversation, okay? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malone. Before the hour, David in Phoenix, David in Alaska, just hang on a second. David in Phoenix, if you want information, go to OccupyTogether.org. And there will be a button there. Click here to find or organize a group in your area. But there is an Occupy Phoenix. So anyone who is interested, OccupyTogether.org will give you information about your city. And thanks to Bruce in California for saying that to me. This hour has been sponsored by Janie Aguilar. Thank you, Janie. Her message is, this is for my paternal grandfather who was conscripted into the Mexican army at the age of 16 and became a staunch believer that no one should become military fodder. Thank you, Janie. I appreciate the sponsorship. Back to David in Cordova.
Thank you, Mike. It's, it's a pleasure to be hauled over here. So many topics of which both you and I are so aware at this point in time, and we realize how important it is that we impart our wisdom to those who have not previously had a clue. We've been living a life here for quite a while, but going back to earlier in the program, I was doing some research about a year ago, and I found out that amongst the principal stockholders of British Petroleum, BP, mm-hmm. is BlackRock Capital and J.P. Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon, Tim Geithner, Obama. Mm. There's that direct connection as to why they were given a lease in spite of their actions. And at some point I'd like to speak with you further. I'll do some writing to you because I've sailed research both for fish and wildlife up on the Arctic Ocean and also for Shell Oil last year. I was there in the original exploration and have a very firsthand knowledge.
Well, I'd love to get from you anything you want to email to me, David. That would be great.
Yeah, and I figured it would take too much time, but yeah, I can sincerely be your go-to guy. I'm a captain in the Merchant Marine and spent the last 6 years up in the Arctic, as well as a significant part of my other sailing career. But I just most of all wanted to get through and just thank you for pounding the message out and being so good and articulate while doing it.
Well,
you are a gift to our nation, Mike.
Well, those are kind words, David. I do appreciate it. But you know, like I've told people listening to this program, we're just kind of a meeting at night, get around this electronic campfire and you know, kind of talk. But David, thank you. I look forward to your emails, and I will definitely stay in touch with you. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you, my brother.
All right, sir. Take care. Where is Cordova, Alaska? I should have asked him. Cordova, Alaska. I have a feeling it's not a real big town. Thanks, David. What else we got here? We only have about 3 minutes left, and I hate to start something new. Energized by what the Occupy organizations or non-organizations are putting together in this country. I'm pretty worried about what the Obama administration is planning regarding Iran and regarding this continual assault on the environment through, as David in Alaska pointed out, through these oil companies. And we mentioned this earlier tonight, to allow BP now to participate in bidding on these leases to start exploration and or drilling in the Gulf is just beyond imagination. But like David pointed out, when you have people in the highest level of the Obama administration who get a suck off of the pipe that is providing revenue to BP and taking profit from BP, what do you expect, right? This is, to anybody who is still unable or unwilling to understand what the occupation movement is about. Here it is. I mean, it's staring you right in the face. Dick Cheney was bad enough. I mean, Cheney just more or less raised both of his middle fingers to America and said, you know, I've got business to conduct. Get the hell out of my face. The only way I'm going to get this done was Cheney's, I'm sure, Cheney's interior monologue is just ignore you dumb bastards. I'm here for one reason, to make money and to make sure my cronies make money and to leave enough people embedded in the U.S. government that no, even if Obama does try to fulfill his promises, we will make sure he does not, even if he tried. So what's a surprise to find out people like Jeffrey Immelt, the CEO of GE, who pays no, a corporation that pays no taxes, that also raises its finger, middle finger to America, that this sorry son of a bitch has become Barack Obama's chief advisor on how to stimulate jobs, a man who has shipped more jobs out of the United States, arguably, than any other single CEO, and Obama hires him? And people wonder, well, don't say anything bad about Obama, because if you do, you're not being a good Democrat. Oh, get out of town with that argument. Jesus. Well, listen, participate tomorrow wherever you are. I'll certainly be doing that here in the Atlanta area. Take care, though. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
What you're about to